Hey, curious cuties. Welcome to Curio City. I'm your host, Lauren Deliri, and this week, Adam and I are giving you all the deets on Gummygate, our unwelcomed trip to the hospital in an ambulance. It was a night from hell. But before that, we take some time to answer a few of your other burning questions. We discuss everything from our dream vacation destinations to Adam's evolving worldview and plans for the future of the podcast network. Plus, find out if the AC is finally on and if Adam still identifies as a reluctant atheist. Whether you've been around for a while or you're a new curious cutie, keep listening for an episode filled with laughter, edible trauma, and, well, plenty of surprises. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We're so excited you're here.
What's up, curious cuties?
If you're new, we started this when we were deconstructing our faith, and then it kept going, and now we led to a world of wonder, as I have coined now on our bio and social medias.
Yeah, it's so funny because, like, I actually was just recently talking about this, and the idea of deconstruction for me was very, like, I was like, I'm not destroying anything. I'm just taking what I already have and what I've grown and loved, and I'm just taking it apart piece by piece to, like, examine it and then put it back together into something I like.
Chiseling it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I just recently was like, yeah, but when you're doing that, the best outcome that you can have is you have exactly what you had before and nothing more. And curiosity to me in the Curio City branding is like, it was an opportunity to expand beyond the things that we already knew. Aww. Even though, like, I knew that like, there were deeper parts of what we already knew that we investigated, that that's what deconstruction was about. But now it's like we're going outside of it into brand new territory, into worlds that we really don't understand, and allowing ourselves to really live into it. And I like that.
Right. And so, like I said, if you are new, we talk about health. We talk about spirituality. Mm-hmm. We talk about the antithesis of spirituality. We just really explore, like, our thoughts.
Yeah.
And Adam and I started it together, and that's why I called the original recipe. But anyway, welcome back to the rest of you hooligans.
Yo.
I wanted to read a review from The Questress. Ooh. And I want to say thank you to all of you that have left reviews. They really do help us.
They're so sweet to read too. It's so cute.
It's so sweet to read. And it tells the podcast gods that we're worth listening to. So it really means a lot. So I'm going to read this one. Like I said, it's from The Questress. 10 out of 10, especially for recovering fundamentalists. An under-talked about healing benefit to recovering from fundamentalism, whether religious or secular, is to explore your curiosity. Lauren and Adam have been doing this out loud for years. Their wit, sincerity, and humble humor is a testament to the power of joy in overcoming the depression, shame, and bewilderment many of us find ourselves wrestling through after leaving a high-demand ideology. Lauren and Adam's self-permission to explore topics from spirituality to atheism, health to pop culture, sex to celibacy, helps nurture our own self-permission to explore these so that we might all find and live in our own truth. Bam.
Wow.
What a review. Thank you so much to The Questress for leaving that amazing, amazing review. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm like, put that as our bio. Like, we're good to go. Like,
sign me up. I'll listen to that podcast.
Exactly. So thank you so much. That was so kind. Obviously, it was a 5-star review. So if you're listening, you like this, please give a 5-star review.
You know what I like is that, like, as we keep hearing more and more from the people that are in our community, mm-hmm. I'm like, every single person that's on this, on the listening side of this, should be on the microphone side of this at some point.
Yeah.
Like, whether that's with us or whether that's with their own podcast.
No,
I feel
totally.
Like there is just so much. People just claim the responsibility for their own choices and their own development so deeply within our community. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me happy that we get to be alongside them doing it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm like literally think that the community of Curious Cuties are like the smartest, mm-hmm. funnest, cutest. Like they live in both like their brains, but also they're like adorable and like stylish. And just, I don't know. I feel like they're woo woo and woohoo. It's just the cute.
It's just the perfect.
That's why they're curious cuties. Yeah. Anyway, I mean it when I say it. I'm like, I know if you're listening to this, I know I can guess your personality. I can kind of guess the way you mm-hmm. function. Not your personality, but more the way you function. And I love that. We love functions here.
We do.
So we got some good questions.
That's what I'm seeing is you guys are wanting me to talk.
We're like,
a little bit more.
We get enough of Lauren. So, yeah. Please.
Well, they get every side of you. They get you solo. They get you as an interviewer. They get, you know,
True. So we got to spotlight you when you're here.
Ugh.
So that being said, you do have some questions because, yeah, people were like, yeah, let's hear from Adam. Like, what's going on with him?
Yeah, hit me with 20 questions. What do we got? Rapid fire.
So let's go. The first question is, do you still identify as a reluctant atheist?
No, but I think it's, I feel the exact same, but I think the language for me has changed.
Yeah.
So like, I personally don't believe that I need anything, but also I believe everybody in the stories that they tell
me
with their...
Need anything meaning need any label?
I don't need there to be something bigger than myself.
Oh, yeah.
I've already got enough things that are bigger than myself that I'm working on that I'm like, that's enough.
I don't need, by day.
Yeah, every day is fine. I've got big projects. I've got lots of different things that I'm like, this is great. And also, like, I've seen the timing of the universe work out. And I'm like, I don't need there to be a theology around that. And I don't need there to be, like, an omnipotent being that's guiding it. I can just feel good about the fact that, like, there just is energy in the universe. And so, to me, that's not atheism, really. It's, like, agnosticism at best. And... So, but I also don't have anything. I'm not going to point to something and be like, that's the thing that makes everything go.
Yeah.
But I also trust and believe everybody's stories when they tell me that they have had spiritual interfacing.
But it's not the reluctant atheist. I feel like it doesn't describe you either because yeah, there's no long, you're not trying to necessarily figure it out anymore. Like you're like chill. You're just kind of like, sure, if it comes, if it doesn't, like if I have a spiritual experience, sure. But you're not like desperate for it. You're not.
Reluctance sounds like there's energy being put into me trying to like push back against it. And there is not that anymore. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm just at the I don't know stage and I'm happy there.
Yeah.
It's good for me.
I think what you said, you're like, I have enough projects. I have enough going on in my like life. It's just day by day.
There is enough bigger than me already that's guiding the way that I move in the world. And I don't need there to be something with its own consciousness and its own ambitions.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I love. Okay, great. So there's your answer for that. Next question for you. How's your connection with your Norse roots going? Or is that not a priority?
It is a priority. It just hasn't, I haven't delved too much more into research because there's not really a lot to research. There's such limited manuscripts about it. And so the next step for me is community.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, as long as I'm not trying to build community around it and not trying to engage with others in their like experiences and practices, it's kind of going to stagnate.
It doesn't really exist.
Yeah. It doesn't exist in its own way. Like there's no book for me to read, gods to pray to. Like there's nothing like that was ever real for me.
I think more so anytime we do some sort of like ritual or ceremony, we kind of think about our ancestry. We're like, oh, this is cool because they did it this way. Then it's like, we kind of have naturally taken on some like pagan traditions. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, like both of us have kind of looked, you look in like your Norse, you know, a background. And for me, I have obviously like indigenous to the Americas, but also I'm Scottish. And so we kind of have similar, ancestral pagan.
Yeah. There's
holidays.
Similar stories being told. There were like similar belief systems that I think were kind of passed around from through a lot of pagan beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the thing that would really re-engage my interest in it would be visiting, going to somewhere like Norway, Sweden, Denmark, one of the, three for me would be really interesting to really kind of get in the space and be with the land and like actually experience that and be like, oh, this is literally where they were docking their boats. And this is literally the food they
ate. Touching it, experiencing it on a very physical, locational.
Because it was very locational.
It was about,
it was a lot of like, this is the spirit of the rock that exists in my backyard.
Yes.
This is the spirit of the house that's three doors down.
Facts.
It was all so locational and so personal that I think like I would literally have to be there to start experiencing any of it.
Completely.
So community and location dependent, I would definitely pursue it more. It's just I don't feel like intellectualizing it again. Like I don't want to like come up with a theology for myself to have to stick to and find myself like submitting my power to more deities of any kind.
Yeah. No.
That's just not interesting to me.
Yeah.
So I've kind of researched as much as I can. There's more historical stuff that's been coming out that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. There's been more like stone tablets that have been found that have carvings for different some of the runology that's used in like Norse paganism that dated a lot older than they were under the belief that existed. They thought that it had started at this time.
Wow.
And, you know, it's
cool.
So there's stuff like that. But like, it's
but then it's like you learn it and then that's it.
And then I'm like, great. Okay. So it was a longer time
like
ago.
Like if I'm not going to touch them or yeah. like, be, it's like if, what you said, locational, physical, communal. If it's not like a physical thing that you can do, you, all you do is learn about it and mm-hmm. you're like, okay, great. And then.
And if I try to theologize it, I'm just going to be basically.
Being a reluctant spiritualist.
Well, I mean, yes, but I'm going to basically colonize a pagan practice of my own. And I'm like, I just don't really need to turn it into, I don't need to Christianize paganism. Christianize.
How would you be colonized Christianizing pagan? What do you mean?
By creating the need for ritual and reading around it. Mm. Because I don't think there really was that. I think it is exactly what it was. There were certain beliefs that people had. They shared them with each other. They got together.
Yeah.
Were in community, made sacrifices, yada, yada.
Got it.
It was so practical. And for me to try to turn it into something that's all up here would just be, to me, colonizing the practice that is Norse paganism.
I'm right there with you. Yeah, I feel that. I feel like we are very similar. We're on a very similar page at the moment when it comes to like, we're connecting to our backyard. We're connecting to like what's mm-hmm. around us and like what we can physically touch and experience mm-hmm. and our farmer's market, like just things like that. Like we're very much like mm-hmm. grounded and grounding right mm-hmm. now. And that in and of itself is like a spiritual practice.
I feel very rooted into literally, yes, our backyard, the trees that are around us. Mm-hmm. Like we went to the farmer's market and got raw milk and local eggs and fresh bread and that kind of stuff to me is like that.
That's
is,
spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
That makes me feel connected to something more than myself.
Same. Yeah.
That's what I need.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Okay. By the way, Gummy Gate is happening. Like we will be talking about that. So if you came here for this, cause I'm sure I'm probably going to put it in the title. It's coming.
Gummy Gate. That's incredible.
Yeah. Gummy Gate is happening.
Yeah. We'll get there.
We'll get there, but we got to like kind of get through these because
we got to give you guys high positive energy first before we delve into the depths of that.
So stay tuned. Okay. Still on Adam though right now. Let's talk about Adam. How is working? How's work? And then I'm going to follow up with how's working on the podcast and plans for a future podcast network. So kind of talk about all both. However much you want to talk about it.
Work is work. It's great that I get to kind of disassociate from the technology and the intellectualizing of everything and just work with my hands and build something. I can have great daily successes. I can do something that's creative and it's easy. It's been so second nature to me that it's like, I don't know. It's nice to just know that that's going to be my consistent thing. It's something I enjoy. There's no drama. There's nothing like that. I've been, hanging out more with my coworkers, which has been nice. I got asked to lunch for the first time, so that was kind of fun.
Adam's been on so many lunch, work, dinner, the other work stuff that he does too, dates.
Yeah.
He's like been meeting so many people. I'm such a hermit. I'm literally such a hermit. Like I don't go out, like I'll go out every 3 or 4 years and make like 6 friends and then it dwindles down to about 2 and then that's my friends for the next 6 years.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay,
yeah.
I won't like go out into the world. So I have like probably a couple more years of being
a hermit. But you go really deep with them and you only take on friends that are really meaningful relationships to you.
And that's what I mean. I'm like, I'm literally like a hermit until I'm like, okay, it's time to make another 2 friends. And then it's like every 6 years you'll see me exit my house being like, wow, there she is. Anyway, Adam, on the other hand.
Yeah, it's been really good. And I feel like I'm just trying to grow, I guess as some people would put it, my sphere of influence, like the people around me that I believe are doing something that are adjacent to what I do or are a little further along in the way that they lead well, or they're further along in their businesses, like that kind of stuff is what draws me to people right now. And so that's who I'm trying to connect with just so that I can like glean some information from them in a practical way.
Yeah.
Just because like I literally don't have the time to figure everything out myself. I have to make friends. I have to start. I just hired my first 2 employees with the podcast editing stuff. So like, it's just, I'm having to build out support systems and communities and I'm having to become reliant on community in a way that I am very adverse to. Like it's not the way I normally operate. I'm very self-driven. I'm very insular. And so for me to be reaching out and growing, my community and building a little bit more social responsibility into my life, it's it's been really fun.
Yeah.
But it's also like definitely
uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's a pressure on me.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of pressure, but it's good because I don't think mentally right now I could do the research and work that it takes to build anything just by myself anymore. Mm,
yeah.
It's too big. Like my dream for it is too big.
I love that.
I do too. That's like it. I love that this is growing to a place where I can actually see sustainability, mm-hmm. where I don't have to just invest all of my time and energy into doing this basically in private and doing it like without any, like, it's nice that there's other people involved. It's nice that I get to, you know, like hire
you
other
took
people
my dream.
And make I took your, oh, cause you want to hire people.
Yeah.
Well, do it. I mean, you are just as much a part of this as I am.
No, I know. I'm like, I feel like I'm kind of hiring somebody cause it's like, you know, what's ours is mine, you know, what's yours is mine and
what's mine is ours.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Like you kind of are hiring me. I mean, granted you're not paying me right now, but
I mean, I'm paying you in other ways.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There are perks. There's not money, but there are perks. And so like you being a part of this whole process is also supporting it.
Yeah, for sure.
And obviously you do so much other stuff too. You're still helping. You're helping take the load off my plate with this.
Yeah. There's so much like moving pieces. So it's going well.
It's going really well. Yeah.
Definitely the next steps have been taken.
Yeah. It's well, I guess I shouldn't say it's overwhelming. It is pushing me to my limits on what I know I'm capable of. And it's definitely expanding my belief in what I can do and in what I deserve in the world.
I love that.
And so it's
it has. I've seen it. You expand in that way for sure.
Yeah. So it's been really good and really challenging. And I think if my life wasn't challenging in this way, it would become challenging in another because there's just an inevitability to that.
That's so true. Choose your shit sandwich or else your shit sandwich will be chosen for you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a fact of life.
Yeah.
Quote me on that.
Yeah, you got to eat lunch so you can either pick or somebody will pick for you.
Literally. I think we've spoken about this, I think before, maybe solo, I'm not sure, but this year, Adam and I really let go of desperation and really leaned into inspiration. And so that sounds like a hallmark or like a whatever. A little
it sounds woo woo, but it's
cliche. But really, we let go of any desperate feelings we had, whether in friendships, relationships, to work, to money, to career, to just relationships, all of it. So because of that, there's always a give and take. So we were holding on to a lot of desperation for a long time. Both us individually are more susceptible to that type of like fear response. It's like kind of holding on to things and desperation and feeling scarcity. And this year we were really determined to lean into what if, like what else, like inspiration and leaning into, like Adam was saying, like finding people that are inspiring who are ahead of us in ways that we want to be, or, you know, finding like mentorships and leaning into the next season of our lives and imagining how big we can make it, how far we can take it. And like, I think that's been so life-changing for us to do it individually, but go into this season together being like, we have to do this. Like we have to do this together. I can't imagine like me going through this and you not being on the same page or vice versa.
Right.
I'd imagine that would be so, so hard being like, come on, like let go of that mindset. But we really did grow into it together.
Yeah. Well, and we have with so many of the things in our life. And
yeah.
I think that's one of the things that to me makes our partnership so beautiful and easy. And so like, carefree is that we just naturally do evolve together.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because we're observing each other and inspired by each other so much or if it just happens to be the flow of the way that we like engage with the world, but like we really do make discoveries and changes in such similar timing.
We're pretty good at looking into the future and knowing like how to backtrack. Like, okay, how do we get to that? What steps need to be taken? Like, we're not at the finish line yet. So like what
how do we
steps?
Reverse engineer the finish line we
exactly.
want?
Exactly. So we're both pretty good at that. And I think that's like important for like successful people, they see the finish line. They're like, okay, then what's the steps?
Yeah. What reverse? Are the practical steps? How do I get there?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Next question. Now that Elle's back from Paris, any travel plans of your own with friends or solo, or is that not your thing? LOL.
Travel is 100% my thing.
And
I mean, that's
solo
how I,
travel. Like,
and solo travel. I'm very much a loner. And it's nice too, because I know Lauren understands that of me. She's even been recently encouraging me to go camping by myself, because that's such a huge thing that I used to do. I am very self-reliant, and I like to know and prove to myself that I have the capability of being self-reliant. And so it's been a long, long season of building our relationship in tandem and building our ability to survive, building up our stability, and doing that has been amazing. And now that I think we're moving into a place of more stability and more security with just the two of us, I think it is coming into a season where I really do want to start building out who I am again. And I think we haven't really gotten to see each other being confident and capable in our own capacities. And I think that's like going to be a big season for us coming up soon, just like us each growing in our own independent ways from a basis that's so well founded. And for me, I'm sure that will look like travel, but like I also love experiencing new things with her. Like, I don't really want to go any new place without her. I love showing people new things, but like with her, it's different. Like, I would rather show somebody else something new that we discovered together. But things that aren't like new discoveries, I would start doing myself more.
Love that for you.
Things that I know. And even like, even as we've been working out again and like things like that, there's parts of me that you don't know that I'm rediscovering, that I'm I'm bringing back to life.
He's strong.
In my own way. And
no, he is strong. You guys, he's very strong.
And it's like, it's fun to see that side of myself again. So like, yes, travel. Yes. Discovery of new things. Yes. Solo adventures. But like, mostly reclamation of who I've been and bringing the pieces that I want into my present. And some of that does include travel, and some of that does include camping by myself and like building fires and fishing, like hunting, that kind of stuff.
How old were you when you were doing that? Like by yourself?
Man,
and like going
I must have been like somewhere between like 10 and 15.
That's funny because like I ask that because in the like era of life that I feel like I'm entering too, it's like between 10 and 15 kind of energy where it's like very grounded. And I was like a nature girly, you know, and
I wasn't afraid of anything. I would go free climbing on rock faces over the lake.
Yeah. And you were that when we met you, like, that was a part of you. I've never assumed that wasn't a part of you. Like I've always been like, when he has more stability, time, freedom, whatever. That's like, I assumed that would come back. Like you would be making habits of like doing those sort of things.
Well, I think the biggest thing with that kind of adventure for me is my ability to accept the consequences and to facilitate myself back into, you know, health if I do have to bear the consequences of any of that.
What does that mean?
So like financial stability is a huge part of that. Yeah. Having health insurance that I know I can pay is a part of that for those kind of things. Yeah. Like I wouldn't go rock climbing if injuring myself.
Well, you're not 14 anymore with your parents just going to put a Band-Aid over you. Like that's not.
And I don't heal as fast. And like, I'm the one that has to worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm the one that would have to miss work. I'm the one that would have to deal with my insurance.
You can't
go to the doctor.
Pretend that you're 12. Like you're not.
Yeah. But I think there are parts of my 12-year-old self and freedom and like fearlessness that can be reclaimed now that I have stability to lean back on.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And so that's where I think there's a redevelopment of confidence that's coming through in my life because I do get to still be those parts of myself. I don't have to have that hometown hero mindset. I didn't peak in high school. Like those things of me that I really love of myself still exist and they still are valuable to me and they're still worth pursuing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I get to be kind of, I get to reparent myself almost now and be my own support and stability in those
things. Exactly. Yeah. Love that.
So that's a long way to answer, am I going to travel by myself now that Lauren's back? But yes.
Love that answer, though.
I will adventure more now that Lauren's back from Paris.
Okay. Love. Okay. Now we're moving on to some other questions that are like a little bit more like rapid fire. Okay. What music are each of you into lately?
I've been really back into like Blink-182 stuff.
Yeah.
That's been really fun for me. Skater Boy season.
We always get back into that when it's this time, though.
Yeah.
This is boot camp week.
My happy music has always been Foster the People.
It's spring, summer. It's like what happens.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Driving in the city at night by myself with the windows down, 1975. Like there's different music that I'll listen to for different things.
I think I would say I'm probably entering the same era.
Mm-hmm.
It's spring, summer. It's like I said, it's boot camp week, which is the week that Adam and I fell in love.
Yeah.
We call it boot camp because it was every single day was such an interesting challenge because I was figuring out.
Yeah, we were going through a
lot. Not meant to be with my ex.
It was the first time we went through our own deconstruction phase. You were deconstructing your relationship with your ex-fiance.
Yeah, it was crazy. Anyway, but when I say boot camp week, it's like the week we fell in love, but it was like
so
also
many
a shit show.
Other pieces.
So many crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I also really like Usher right now. The new Usher album is really good.
Good one. Good one.
I'm trying to think. I know there's another album right now. Well, here, I'll just
Ariana.
Pull it out. Oh, wait. I don't have my phone on me. I never have my phone on me. Ariana's album. Awesome.
I like it.
Yeah.
Didn't really get into Beyonce's
album.
No. No, and not Taylor Swift.
Definitely not Taylor Swift. I mean, I'm sure it's fine. No interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been trying to listen to more of the artists that I build drums for. So I've been like kind of dabbling into a little bit more of that kind of stuff.
Like
so,
Doja Cat has a...
Yeah.
Those are my people. I listen to those people.
I try to... while I'm at work, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like I'm building... I'm literally probably building the drums that are on these records.
Yeah.
And like, they're definitely the ones that are being played at the live shows. So I'm like,
it's almost like an inspiration. Like when you're making it,
like I'm a part of this in some capacity. I'm a part of making this sound happen.
So it could be like lots.
It's pretty much anybody that's in the top 40 pop right now is playing my drums.
So cool.
Yeah. Not my drums. You know, I build Fort Pearl, but like it's got my signature on the inside and I built them by hand.
Yeah. That's so cool. For me personally as well, like I'm in my like girly summer era.
Yeah.
So it's always Ariana, Sabrina Carpenter.
Yep.
Doja, SZA, like, you know, those types. Who else?
Yeah.
There was somebody else that I was thinking the other day. Anyway, that type. So
yeah, just like the big pop girls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then Hiatus Coyote's coming to town soon, so that'll be really exciting.
Right.
That's its own niche, but like that's a really fun one. I'm excited to see them in person.
Yeah, when is that?
Like the 13th of June, maybe.
Oh wow, okay.
We got some time.
That's Kelsey's birthday.
It might not be the 13th.
Okay. We'll have to double check. Okay.
Sorry, Kelsey.
Has Adam ever done drag?
No, but when we used to tour, when we toured a lot, one of the first things you did, and I don't even think we were dating yet, but you were like, I bet you would look really good with makeup on. And I was like, okay. And you put makeup on me, but I haven't ever done anything beyond that.
No.
Nothing actual drag.
No. Nope. He hasn't.
No.
Favorite artists as a middle schooler?
Pretty much the same artist. Well, no, I take that back. As a
you
middle
liked,
schooler.
You liked Maroon 5, didn't you?
I did. I liked Maroon 5, and I was really into 80s hair metal stuff. So I was into like Rat. I was into Poison. I was into.
So funny.
Who was it? Guns N' Roses. Like all those kind of people. I was really into that.
I liked like Jumpsuit Apparatus.
Red Jumpsuit Apparatus. Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
All American Rejects.
Avril Lavigne.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff was really good too.
Who's the one that sings, do you feel better now as you...
Yeah, that's Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And then...
Do you feel better now as she falls to the ground?
Amazing.
It's so dramatic.
It's such a good song. Yeah, it's so dramatic though. Toby Mac, KJ52. If y'all know who that is,
nice.
some good old white rappers.
Nice. We were really cool.
Yeah, Skillet back in the day, but I'm pretty JoJo? Sure they have a personal problem with me now.
Skillet? Oh, you. Yeah, we won't even go there. What did I say? Oh, JoJo.
JoJo, yeah.
Yeah, Queen. She was so young.
Yeah, also Queen. Queen is good.
Queen. No, I didn't listen to Queen. That was Adam, though. He did.
Yeah, my grandpa listened to Queen, and he told me that was the coolest music ever. There was this band. This is going to be a deep cut, but there was a heavier band that was in the Christian scene, I believe, called Dump Star.
Not Dump Truck?
Nope, not Dump Truck. Dump Star.
Okay.
They were pretty awesome.
Cool. Cool. Don't look them up. okay, this actually kind of goes back to the other question. Ideal vacation / well, we'll answer this too. Dream places, events you want to do.
For me, vacation is adventure. Yeah. I would want, I mean, I've talked with Lauren about this a lot, and I know she'd be down for it because I've traveled enough with her, but like going around from hostel to hostel in Europe and just like seeing the world. And I love the idea of like becoming a local somewhere, but that's kind of a different kind of dream. That's not a vacation.
Yeah.
Like I would want to be somewhere for like 3 months straight, become a local and then peace out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I could go anywhere. I would go to Norway and, you know, hike through places. I really want to go to Japan. I think the thing is I work for a Japanese company. And so like, there's a lot of reason for me to go there. And also I'm really interested in anime culture. Like,
yeah,
it's just all very much like relevant to my life and the things that I consume and the things that I create right now. So I'm like, it's interesting to me.
Makes
and
sense.
my fashion is kind of similar to like Japanese streetwear.
Yeah, I think I would like to go to Scotland. I would like to go to Norway. I would like to go to Italy with you, Spain.
We are being called to Italy. Italy is calling us.
It's called us our whole relationship.
Yeah.
When we first started dating, I was like, I feel like we lived in another life. We lived in Italy.
I love the idea of that.
Yeah.
So just living on a hillside by the river.
I don't know.
Whatever. Vineyard country.
Yeah. I don't know. So I think that would be amazing. I think when also the question is, dream places / events you want to do. You know, I think that's something else I can speak to. Like, I think there's a little baby dream in me that is a kind of blossoming. Like I maybe want to do events, like put on events.
Yeah.
Or help put on events or host speak events. And we'll see. Like, I don't know. Like I'm not currently like seeking it out.
Yeah, you're not pursuing it actively right now.
Yeah, but I think one day I think I would like to do an event for myself and for our community, like Curious Cuties stuff, but also like it doesn't have to be just my community. I can kind of put people together and like wellness and health, spirituality, but like fun.
Yeah, we have plenty of people in that sphere that we could really call on to.
So I think that would be cool together. Fun one day. I think I would love to do that and then eventually blow that up and do like an event in Bali or something or some cool place where like people do like,
event.
Like an influencer event, but like with Curious Cuties. Like let's like 12 of us all go and like, you know,
12
like,
of us.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course.
Like we just do like a the retreat. 12
most committed.
Yeah. You know, but it would be like it'd be like a higher ticket price because it's like, it's like a whole weekend and like you get food and like, you know, that kind of thing. I think one day maybe dreaming about that is an interesting thought that I've had.
I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah. So,
and really valuable just especially to be able to talk face to face with you guys, like with people that have been following our journey so closely. I would love to start hearing their stories.
Yeah. So before Bali though, we'll do smaller events. Okay. but anyway, so that's something that could be really fun to do.
Yeah.
But as far as places to go, I mean, I'd go back to Europe with you. Cause when we were in Cannes, you know, I was working like, I had the award shows, but I had things to do. Like I didn't want to get like, you know, drunk and enough. There was like no like real vacation element to it.
We were always kind of around people that were, I mean, they were great. They were really fun, but it was like kind of work people.
Yeah. So I think for me, like, I would like to go back to Europe with Adam in a very, like, different headspace.
Yeah, you and I travel so well together.
Yeah. So anyway, that would be, like, really fun. Speaking of Europe, the next question says, is the AC on yet? And one thing that I, like, didn't mention in that story post and what this person is referencing is that we, in the summer, like, in the warm months, we don't turn our AC on. Like, it will get to, like, 81 degrees in the house. Yeah. And maybe then we'll turn it on.
We'll get naked before we start turning on the AC.
Yes. However, it does. We do kick it on starting in the evening when, like, Adam gets home from work, like, whatever. I'll start it. But we sleep in 65 degrees or lower. Like,
or lower. If it'll go lower, we'll let it. But yeah, we'll only cool it to 65.
Yeah. So do not get it twisted. We sleep in a freezing tundra. Like, we make it very cold. We do not sleep in the heat. We just function in the heat.
Speaking of traveling and sleeping in the
saying.
Heat.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was tough. We sleeping were in France and Cannes, and our Airbnb, the second one we went to, not awesome.
So hot. We slept naked, and I slept with a frozen washcloth on me every day, and it dried up within seconds.
Yeah, and we had a fan in there blowing, but it was about to fall over, and the bed was, like, rickety and in a closet, basically.
It was probably one of the worst. No,
it was a hostel experience, but with prices of an Airbnb.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But anyway, yeah. Yes, the AC is on at night. Have no fear. It's so funny. We have a lot of travel questions. How do you prefer to travel these days?
I want to fly wherever I'm going. I like driving, but I'll drive when I get there.
Love it.
Honestly, though, like, I would rather travel to a place that nobody really drives.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take a bike. Fine by me.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I don't know. My heart started racing.
Oh, man. Okay. It's going to be interesting talking about your
my experience.
Your gummy gate.
Are you guys ready? This is what you've all been waiting for, really.
Yeah. We've just been teasing you at this point.
Okay.
Oh, where do you want to start?
We got to paint the scene. So
it was a Friday evening.
It was a Friday. And when I went to Paris, I took, like, a quarter of a gummy that my friend had on the flight there, on the flight back. Great high.
Mm-hmm.
It's like funny as hell. Got the giggles. Like, it was everything that a gummy does, right? Mm-hmm. You just, at one point I was like, oh my God, I'm really high. And, you know, and it's fine. I work through those great. I'm a good high person. Like, I know how to handle it. Okay. And, like, had a fun time. And I've done gummies before. So because of my experience with Paris, I was like, that was really fun. Like, I, you know, I haven't done a gummy in a while. And Adam and I did gummies, like, years ago, like, together. And we did, like, tiny bits. And it was, we liked it. We enjoyed it. Yeah. We haven't done that in years.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it's been a long time.
You know, because of, I had just come back from Paris and had experienced good gummies, I was like, you know, it'd be fun to do that again, like, with you and I, whatever.
Yeah.
So we had talked about it.
Yep.
And anyway, so it's Friday night. Adam was like, I'm going to go get ice cream from the store. It was great. I was like, oh my God, yay. I'm craving ice cream, whatever. Or something like that. He stopped by the liquor store. That wasn't part of the plan, but he's like, you know what? Friday.
Yeah, I was just going to buy beers at the grocery store. Because I was like, you know what? I feel like having a beer because we don't have any alcohol in our house right now. And we normally don't. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick up a little 4-pack. And
yeah. And so they didn't have it. So you went to the liquor store. So Adam went to the liquor store and...
And I just kind of went and perused and found myself some good beers and went out to check out. And I was like checking out. They had already processed the order. I hadn't scanned my card yet. But then they had these little like Delta 9 gummies on the counter. I was like, oh, well, perfect. Lauren was just wanting gummies. So I was like, this is great. They had two different options there. One was stronger. One was less strong. I was like, yeah, I'll just take the less strong one. That's fine. I'm sure that'll be plenty sufficient for us. We've been sober for a while. So I was like, okay, great. Actually, throw one of these in. They were like $5. Not even for like this little pack, 2-pack of gummies. It was like $4.95 or something like that. And I was like, okay, Delta 9. I was like, that's CBD. It's
like Delta 9 and Delta 8. Like it was mostly Delta 8 because it's, you can only have a certain amount of percentage of Delta 9 for it to be legal, blah, 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 blah. Okay. And already gummies, y'all know, like they're not the plant anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's an extract.
Already they're extracted. It's like, it's a processed version of weed. Yeah, I could say that. Yeah. It's our podcast. Yeah. I like thinking of all the places this is going to go.
Yeah.
And yeah, so anyway, so already that's why people have a hard time with gummy sometimes, because it's like, you know, it takes a while to process and get there. And then you are on this ride for a while and like, whatever. I know that I've taken gummies. Like I said, just had a great experience. So he bought them. He brought them home. Excited. It was great.
Yeah. I was like, chill. Just like, oh, hey, look at what I got.
Yeah, it was great.
I got a beer.
Now, he mentioned the number to me. Okay, no, I'll work. I'm not going to give it away yet. But yeah. He mentioned the number to me. And this is where I should have listened to myself. And I really learned. I'm continually learning this lesson. But I always think somebody knows better than me. I'm always like questioning myself of being like, you know, whatever. I just have to explain it at this point. He told me it was 240.
Yeah, I believe so.
So it was
the two options at the store were 240 or 400 milligrams.
Okay. Yeah. So he got the 240 one. So let it go on record. He did tell me that it was 240.
And I don't really know anything about weed.
Right.
Or Delta 9 or whatever.
But in my head, I just think that he's smarter than me. And so I didn't think anything. So anyway, he tells me 240. I didn't think of anything about it because, well, I did. I was like, 240, that's a lot. Like, obviously that's a lot. It was two gummies. So it was like 240 in the entire pack.
Yeah,
so
120 each.
Two gummies. Yeah, 120 each. So I heard that in my process and I was like, oh, that's high. Like the biggest gummy I've ever had, the amount was 10 milligrams, okay? But in my head, I'm thinking 10 versus 120, can't be of the same.
No, it's got to be a different like measuring tool. Like it's like grams versus milligrams.
Exactly.
Or something.
So I was like, oh, maybe I'm thinking I'm mistaken because I don't do gummies a whole lot.
Yeah.
But enough to be like, I know it's been 10 and that's been the most I've ever had. Like, and that was
so 120 is probably what, 12?
Yeah. So I'm thinking, oh, it's just like 120 milligrams versus 10 grams. Okay. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, there's no way that there's a gummy that's 120.
For $5.
Like, there's no way. So yeah. It didn't even cross my mind really, but that was my thought process. So, and let it be known that like 10, when I've taken it, it's been like once or twice
take a quarter.
No, but I've taken a whole 10.
Oh,
and yeah. It was I was uncomfortably high. It was like, I didn't like it. I've done five and that's been high and it's been like, whoa, that was a trip. And then I've done a quarter of 10 and it's like what, two and a half, three. And it's been a good high. I enjoyed that. That's like the general, like, oh, this is fun. And I think that's probably what I had on Paris. Yeah. It's about 2.5 to 3. Okay. So I'm thinking it's milligrams versus grams. Clearly not. That's not how it works, you guys. Okay. We're teaching you. We're educating you. Probably you all know this and we're the idiots.
Yeah, you're probably laughing at us right now and that's fine.
And that's fine. But that's why I gaslit myself because I'm like, clearly Adam knows and I don't know.
In my head, I'm like, clearly Lauren's been taking gummies lately. She knows what to dose us with. I'll just let her deal with dosing.
And well, thank God I only gave us quarters. Okay. So I cut this into quarters, one of them into quarters. Mm-hmm. We both took a quarter. And I'm thinking, and I literally said to him, you probably won't feel anything. Because again, I'm thinking this is like,
this
so
is a gas station gummy. You're
than,
like, this isn't going to be effective.
Like, it's not even a gram. You know what
like
I mean?
Like, it's not like, even real Delta 9.
Right. So I'm like, this is going to like chill us out. You know, like, whatever. No. What we took
later
was 30 milligrams. So that's me taking 10 or 3.
10 milligram gummies.
Gummies.
And 10 was way too
and
much.
And 10
already.
Was way too much that I would never take a 10 again. Like ever. I wouldn't even take 5 again at this point. Like, well, now who knows what I'll do. But I mean, like a quarter is pretty much all I will do of a 10. So I took 30 milligrams. Adam took 30 milligrams.
I don't do well on
high.
Any kind of high.
Now I do. So I'm thinking like, I'm starting to feel it and I'm like, I get nervous immediately.
Yeah.
Not because I'm getting nervous. I'm getting nervous that
I'm going to start feeling it and that I'm going to get uncomfortable.
Cause he gets really uncomfortable. Like his highs do not, do well. So like whenever he gets too high, it's not a fun experience.
It's night is over for everybody.
Yes. For me, if I get too high, I kind of just like shut down. Like I just kind of like quiet, whatever. Yeah. I'm like, I work through it. Yeah. And if somebody is next to me is like having a good time, I can kind of just like ride through.
Their energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that probably didn't help. I was like so concerned about you. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Adam starts feeling it. I'm still like, this is fine. Like I'm feeling high, but I'm like, it's all okay. He gets in the shower. He's in the shower for a while.
I started feeling a little uncomfortable and Lauren started doing research once she was like, wait a minute.
I was like, how much was this again?
So then she's like, how much did you say it was? And then I just see her just scrolling on her phone, like clicking on links and stuff.
And then he starts freaking out.
And that gave me anxiety because I was like, stop. It's going to be fine. Like, it's okay. Like, whatever happens, happens at this point.
But I needed to know what to prepare myself for and what to prepare for him. Like, I thought honestly I was going to be fine.
Yeah.
And then I was going to have to help Adam out the rest of the night. Like that's for real what I thought was going to happen. I was like, that's fine. Like I was kind of buckled in. I was like, whatever. He's in the shower. As long as he's in the shower.
Yeah. And you didn't know if I was happy, but I was having a great time in the shower.
And genuinely you really were.
Yeah. I was really having a good time. It was very helpful to my high.
I couldn't believe it. Like I was like,
I was like in and out of, like, oh, is this real? Is life real? Like, am I experiencing it right now? Is this a dream? Like kind of thing in the shower. But I just kept, and I have got to shout out breathing exercises because I grounded myself so well just going through different breathing exercises in my head that I have been doing over and over and over every day. I do my, 10, 15, 20 minutes of breathing and it brings me up into a high and I know how to work myself back down from it just when I'm like no chemicals in my system at all. And so I just did that. I was like, okay,
he was fine in the shower.
I was like, yeah, just pretend that you're like up here and now bring yourself down and it's okay. And just root into reality. And the shower was warm and I could feel something outside of my body. So I was like, this is great.
It probably would have helped. But then again, I don't think I could have stopped the moving train for me. So again, I'm okay, but I sit down to pee and Adam's like just about to get out of the shower. And I start noticing that I'm seeing pink and blue. Like our bathroom
isn't there.
Our bathroom is all white. Yeah. Like the shower curtain is white, but I'm thinking, okay, I'm hallucinating a little bit. I'm just really high at this point. I'm still okay. Like I'm okay with hallucinating. I know you just get through. Like I hallucinate a little bit. I might lose track of time. I'm like, I was starting to, while I was sitting there, kind of losing where I was in the bathroom.
Totally. Yeah.
Like I was like, what bathroom am I in?
You like looked up and you're like, there's the shower. Okay. So
I was like, whose house am I in? Yeah. It started happening where I was like, where am I? Like I couldn't really pinpoint the house I was in. Mm-hmm. So anyway, still I wasn't freaking out. Like I was just again, like letting the high happen. It is what it is. Now it's going to be hard to talk through this, but.
Well, let's go next to the part where I came out of the shower and you were like, how you feeling? And I was like, oh, I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, good. I was so worried that you were not feeling good. And I was like, no, this has been perfect for me. This is exactly what I needed to do. I'm glad I listened to my intuition. I got in the shower. And that is when I saw her face change because she realized she didn't have to protect me anymore. She said, okay, good, because I'm feeling really uncomfortable. And that's
what I did. Yeah. I don't remember that.
And I was like, oh.
Okay.
I was like, what do you need from me?
It was like, let's just get ready for bed.
Yes.
And that's what happened. So then we did. I already was ready for bed. Thankfully, like everything was done in the house. Like,
yeah, we had already cleaned everything up.
Like I had washed my face. Like I was ready for bed. So then we both get in bed and.
Yeah.
I start getting the worst hive ever. And like, I go into multiple universes and I'm like parallel universes.
Kind of trying to maintain yourself, your composure. Yeah.
And I'm like, how are you awake? I couldn't believe that Adam was okay because Adam falls asleep already. Like in like 1 second. And so I was,
and like, also like the fact that that you were feeling so much and that I was composed.
Okay. It was like throwing me. I was like, I couldn't really believe anything. I was like, I wasn't really believing any reality. I kept thinking I was actually living in Adam's dream.
Yeah. Yeah. You said that a few times.
And then I was like, I felt like I was in a hall of mirrors and like just falling and couldn't like keep track of my thoughts and they were just going flipping. It was just like crazy. So that was scary. And then basically,
but you were still trying to just fall asleep.
Yes.
Just kind of like work through it.
Yeah. I was like, if I could just like close my eyes, fall asleep, whatever. This part is the part that's hard for me.
Yeah.
So I'm falling and no longer being able to keep up with my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of shut off. I don't know what happened. I don't know what shut off. All I remember is like, I start like writhing and like Adam's like trying, he's like holding me, putting pressure on like me on my chest, kind of like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause you were saying that you needed me to hold you into this reality.
Yeah.
that was the thing that you kept repeating to me was like, you're afraid that your consciousness was going to move into a different reality.
Yeah. So yeah, I started writhing in a way that like I had no control over it. Like my hands were writhing, my arms, I started.
Your legs were all wiggly.
Oh, it was, I was just writhing like in a way I truly was not, mm-hmm. I was not in control of at all. So like to my experience, I like was seizing like what it felt like to me. Like,
yeah. Involuntary muscle contractions.
Yes. And it was going from like me, when I get anxious, I kind of do that anyway. So at first it was, I was just like, oh, I'm just like really anxious and self-soothing.
Mm-hmm.
But then it got to the point where I was like, I wasn't doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. It was no longer me.
Yeah. Cause sometimes you'll like grab my hand extra hard.
Yeah.
And like really just squeezing yourself back into reality a yeah. little bit.
But then it was no longer me. I wasn't doing it anymore.
Yeah.
And that was there scary.
That was the point where your hands were starting to come up and you were starting to really just like.
I was kind of like hitting, not hitting, but like, yeah, but just moving in weird ways, you guys.
Just tightening up.
And.
Really pulling.
Then my heart really freaked out and it was going really fast, I guess, is probably what ended up happening. Faster than my heart ever goes. Like even when I work out or anything, like my heart rate doesn't really go above. I'd say like the most I've ever seen it go is 130 when it was yeah. like really like I was running and like whatever.
And thank God for your Aura ring.
My Aura ring. Yeah. Cause I ended up checking it. But anyway, to keep the story just in the timeline, basically I thought I was dying actually. Like,
yeah.
I literally thought my heart was stopping. Like, mm-hmm.
You were saying it was a pressure. You weren't even feeling that like rapid.
No,
fluttery.
I didn't feel rapid at all. I literally felt like my heart was stopping.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it. Like I thought I was about to die. And Adam immediately, he called the ambulance in that moment and I was like, I'm dying.
Yeah.
I told them,
scary thing was when she started really getting into it and she was just kind of like, started screaming basically, I'm dying, I'm having a heart attack, you need to call the ambulance right now, I'm having a heart attack, I'm dying.
Yeah.
And that was terrifying for me.
I mean, I wasn't, you guys, I wasn't saying that because I was freaked out. I was yeah. saying that from an animalistic, like I literally yeah. thought I was dying. Mm-hmm. Like I was thinking, oh my God, I'm dying. Adam is not going to like have his wife. I'm not going to have kids. Like I literally thought yeah. 30 years was it. This was it. I yeah. literally thought I was dying and I can't even like stress that enough mm-hmm. that it wasn't of me being like, oh my God, I'm so freaked out. No,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't a mind thing. It was me thinking my body was dying.
Yeah. Well, and to like preface all of this too, before we get into the next scene here, the first time I ever got high, this was my experience, kind of. I mean, I don't know the comparison
level. You can't
level,
know for sure.
But I was very much in the same place of like going through tunnels, blacking out, falling through universes, can't keep track of time,
yeah.
anxious, felt my heart pounding, the tightness, the like total disconnection from reality. Yeah. The only thing that was keeping me grounded was a movie that was playing on the TV in the hotel room.
And me laying on top of
you. And Lauren laying on top of me, which is what I tried to do back to her this time. Was like laying on top of her and just kind of trying to keep talking and trying to keep reassuring her that I was awake and that I was there and that I wasn't going to fall asleep and that it was okay.
I wish my body was doing things that I had no control over. Like whenever I felt like my heart wasn't like I thought I was actually dying. Crazy, you guys. I started beating my chest, but like I wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
Like my body was taking over.
To try to manually reset your heart.
Tried to hit my chest. Like I did not do that.
Yeah.
That was not me. Yeah. My body did that.
Yeah. And like, I ended up doing that too when I was high that first time.
Yeah, you did.
Was I just kept like slapping my chest. Like trying to keep my pace.
But like, did you consciously do it? Because like it was not conscious.
I didn't consciously start, but I noticed what I was doing.
That's when I really noticed. I was like, my body is separate.
Yeah.
That's when I'm like soul, but like consciousness. It is a weird kind of paradigm because my animal body was trying to survive.
It was divorced from your analytical mind.
You guys, it was so fucking crazy. So anyway, calls the ambulance, get on the phone with me. So once I like that heart attack that I felt was happening, that wasn't consistent, but I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't breathe right. Like I did not know how to breathe. And that's horrifying. Cause anytime I felt like I couldn't breathe, that's like the heart thing would kind of come back. But I only had the heart attack feeling, I'd say 2.5 more times that night. The other things were just like my mind and like my breathing.
Yeah.
But on the phone talking to the people, they're like, what do you see?
Yeah. And for anybody that's a partner to somebody that's experiencing this, calling the ambulance is so helpful because to me, like she was still looking at me and she could see me, but she was trying to like cling onto the reality, but I'm sure she was seeing plenty of me in other realities. There's only one reality where she's talking to an ambulance person or a medic on the phone and they know exactly how to get you thinking and perceiving the world that's around you.
Yeah. It made me feel, cause like seeing a stranger was actually like, okay, I'm here.
There
is
something else that's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were really good on the phone. Really good. She got me talking about patchouli, which was like the thing that kind of kept me going. And I was like, thank you for talking about my dog. Like it's so crazy. Anyway, they get here. We don't need all the details, but essentially I get in the ambulance. Adam doesn't come with. Adam, remember, has taken the same amount as me, but he's like the superhuman thing has taken over. He thinks he also thinks I'm dying. Like there's no way for him to know like what's really going on.
Yeah. I'm so grateful to have come to the realization though, that in moments like that, my body will take over and I will become what I need to be.
Yeah. But Adam drives to the hospital behind and I'm talking in the ambulance, like I'm asking them questions, trying to, like, you guys, I can't even answer what my name is. Like, this is how they ask me. I'm like, it's Lauren. And then it's like, what's your full name? Lauren Delery. Like I told them I was 29 when I'm 30. Like it was bad. Like it was not I was not well. And it wasn't just an anxiety thing. Like things were going on inside of me that have never gone on before. And as Adam was driving behind me, I'm like, I had to like not think about him because as soon as I would remember, like, holy shit, Adam is driving a car and he took a gummy too. Like I had to stop like worrying about him and I had to like put him in a box in my brain somewhere and not like look at it. And that was like, that was the thing that made me emotional the days following is that I had to just be like, I felt like I had to survive for Adam, hoping Adam survives. It was so horrifying. So we get there. I'm not breathing well. I have that heart attack feeling again as I'm about to get out of the ambulance. They already had taken everything off of me. I'm like, my heart. And I'm like pounding it again. And they put it back on. They're like, okay, yeah, it was like 146 something. But again, I'm not moving. So it's like,
there's no reason
it is racing.
Be.
Like it's going higher than it ever has gone. Like I don't, again, that's why I should probably work on like getting my heart rate up higher.
Yeah.
So that I can handle that.
Yeah.
But I digress. There's two people in the ambulance. They're wheeling me out. I can't really breathe. I'm having such a hard time breathing. The rest of the night is the worst night of my life. I mean, hopefully this is all just a trigger warning, but I was literally like, I wanted to kill myself, which I know I don't have thoughts like that. I don't struggle like that.
Well, you were saying, I think specifically if I stay like this for not even forever, but for much longer, I don't want to be alive.
Yeah. I was like, it doesn't even have to be. It just like, even if it's much, yeah. even if it's.
Which is exactly what I said too the first time.
X when I amount was high. Of hours. I was like, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
I'm like if there's something around here that I can kill myself with, I will.
Yeah.
Like, thank God there wasn't, yeah. you know, like it was that bad. Like I know it's, we kind of like laugh about it because we kind of have to at this point.
Yeah.
And also it was a gummy and we got it for the liquor store, like all these different stupid things.
Yeah.
But like, I felt like there, I said there was like a demon in me. Like mm-hmm. I felt like there, it was just, it was horrible. It was, I've never had those thoughts before. I've never yeah. had that thought of being like, okay, just off me, let's go. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, and two, like I'm driving behind you trying, because apparently when you do the SOS mode on your phone, which is what I thought to do when I was still trying to like call the ambulance, it texts all your emergency contacts that there's been an SOS and that you're in some sort of medical danger. And so I'm trying to like balance talking to my family, who's been calling her and calling me, and then texting back and forth with her parents and managing the, our brother and sister-in-law who yeah, are in town here.
I texted them because I literally thought I was going to die that night.
Yeah. So she was like saying her goodbyes over text, basically, yeah. that I'm trying to not read while I'm trying to manage all the other conversations and drive.
I didn't know if I was going to live. Like, I didn't think I was going to live.
Yeah.
I would never in this real normal life, like I would never text something. I'm not dramatic like that. Like I wouldn't yeah. just be like, I'm dying. Like I literally called my sister or texted my sister and brother-in-law and I was like, come to the hospital because
I might not make it past tonight.
I might die.
Yeah. Well, you were texting, I'm dying. Not even I might.
Yeah.
You were basically submitted like I was to dying. The fact that you were dying that
yeah.
night.
Yeah.
Which was terrifying.
And that was the only thing. Yeah.
So and I had to mitigate my anxiety about that and yeah. be like, this isn't real. She's just, these are her feelings, which are real, but I would be informed but by thought, somebody if she was actually dying.
But like, it wasn't just my feel, like my animal body. I literally yeah. thought I was dying. I thought this body was done for. Like, yeah. I thought it was gone.
Yeah.
So anyway,
over and 60 then, cents of Delta 9 from the liquor store.
Right. So Brooke, my sister, she was asking, she's like, should I call mom and dad? And I literally debated because I was like, I actually didn't want them to know. I didn't want them calling. I didn't want them texting. I didn't, but I was also like, but they might lose their daughter. So like, they should know.
They should know.
That yeah. was like why I said yes.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm just trying to like paint the full picture here. I know yeah. Maybe this has gotten long winded for you guys, but like,
yeah.
it's just the reality of like what that was. It was the worst night of our lives. And mm-hmm. they did give me an IV and I think they did put in some calming, mm-hmm. something in there. I'm yeah. not sure what it was.
Something to basically try to keep
people were laughing.
Your heart, right?
Like people laughed the two times that I said it was a gummy from a liquor store. And the first time I was like, what are you laughing at? He just shook his head and didn't respond to me. Second time mm-hmm. he laughed again. And I said, why are you, I literally was like so adamant about it. I was like, why are you laughing? Like what is going, like what is in a liquor store gummy? Like why? Like what are you laughing about? And yeah. he was just like, oh, you just like, don't do that. And I was like, why? And he was like, well, it's just like, really, it's like fake. It's just really fake stuff. And it's really strong. Intense. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you guys, we ended up leaving the hospital. My IV gets done.
Yeah.
My sister she's there. She's talking to Adam. That's the only thing grounding me. I'm like so thankful she ended up showing up.
Cause me too.
Was like, he was kind of,
I was working through my own high / anxiety attack, panic yeah. attack. And she was there at least to like
bring up conversation.
Yeah. To bring up conversation. But like if I passed out,
it was like somebody else
or went into my own episode, yeah. there was somebody to call the nurses in there. Cause yeah. there was nobody like in there watching the whole time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't hooked up to any sort of like heart rate monitor.
Yeah. So.
And we were sitting there and I was holding your feet and showing you how to breathe.
Yeah. At one point it was really hard to breathe. Yeah. Really hard. I couldn't do it. Like, Adam was like, okay, you need to like, what'd you say?
I said, you need to.
Lighter breaths or something.
Yeah, I was like, you don't need to breathe all the way. Like,
yeah, that helped me. And after that, I could kind of handle it. Cause then I was like, okay, I'll take a little breath. Maybe a little breath
is
better.
Just calm down. Like, it's just take a small, easy breath.
But
we
really
were still
hit,
counting them.
It really hit my lungs. It's almost like the gummy, like, hit my lungs.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't feel my lungs. Like, I couldn't
feel... Oh, yeah, I'm
feel...
sure it hit every organ in your body.
It did, yeah. So we got home, like, 1 a.m. or something.
Yeah,
Adam,
it wasn't
again,
that late of a night.
Drove us home.
Yeah. And I was still feeling some sort of way.
But of course.
I'm pretty sure a lot of it was just pure anxiety. Cortisol in my system being, like, sitting in the waiting room for the 15 minutes that I had to wait while she was getting a room, reading through the text of like, oh, I'm losing my wife tonight over something so trivial.
Yeah. Terrifying, horrible, awful.
I pulled up a YouTube video because I was like, I have to ignore this. I have to ignore this to survive this because
I had to ignore Adam and his experience as well.
Because I was like, if I read into this and I believe it, it's going to send me into the high that I cannot be feeling right now.
Yes.
And so instead, I pulled up a YouTube video and did a 15-minute breathing exercise in the middle of the waiting room. And I was like, eyes closed, headphones in, just sitting there like, and it was like vibey music telling me to breathe in for 3 seconds and then like breathe out hard for one. And I was like doing it.
Yeah.
Didn't care about anybody else's experience of me in that room because I was like, this is how I know to calm myself down.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, that's the same thing. When I started getting worried about you in the ambulance of you driving, I was like, I literally can't think about him because it will work me up. I have to stay calm. I have to stay so calm and start thinking about other things. So I was like asking the doctors and nurses to like teach me things. So it's like, what's going on? Like, let me think about something. Mm-hmm. Help me think about anything.
Yeah.
So anyway, got home 1 a.m. I had like 2 pillows set up for me because that's how I was in the hospital. I was like, I know I can handle it because I was afraid if I laid back all the way,
then
you
would
like,
feel it too much in your throat and chest.
So we did sleep.
Yeah.
So I did sleep more than I thought I was going to sleep. I ended up sleeping about 6 hours, mm-hmm. 6.5 hours mm-hmm. Total, which is actually quite a bit considering.
Yeah. I didn't know if you were going to fall asleep and I kept staying awake until you fell asleep first so that you wouldn't feel abandoned.
I was awake a lot and I'm glad you did. Yeah. Like horrible experience. And the next day I was high all day.
Yeah. But we went out into the world to try to give you some external stimulus so that you weren't just sitting there and like,
I was so grateful the next morning to like wake up and be done with the night.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I didn't even care to sleep anymore. I would have woken up just to move. I would, even if I slept 2 hours, I would have woken up. Like,
yeah,
I've been like, okay, it's the new day. Like, let's get going. Yeah. The sun is up. So let's go. So we did, we went to a little festival and like,
it was beautiful
twitching
outside.
I was tweaking.
She was tweaking. She looked a little bit like a tweaker.
Yeah. I was tweaking,
but not too bad. Like we were
like
at a very, very busy festival downtown. So it was good.
Yeah.
We got food as we needed. We got water. We could watch things happen on stage. We could check things out at booths and feel things.
We couldn't get too hot though. Like I was like a little hot sometimes. I was like, okay, we need to like
find shade, sit down.
We sat down a lot. Yeah.
Different places. Yeah.
So, but I was basically high all that day and then I could sleep again that night. Was really anxious.
Yeah. Going to bed was, you were almost crying going to bed.
Yeah. And then I cried a little bit for the next 2 or 3 days, just every day, just for some other reason. And then by the next day, so by Sunday, I was okay. I was hungover.
You were hungover, but your mind was still foggy, but you weren't trying to like ground yourself in our reality anymore.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's gummy gate.
They're not great.
So don't do that. I didn't know that. So like.
I feel like there needs to be a warning.
Like
label
I'm a
somewhere.
Dummy, I guess. But like also. Here's your warning.
Take this as your official warning.
You didn't know, like I didn't know. Don't get it from a liquor store. Like just, I don't know. Anyway, so since then it's been a week and a day since that happened. And I've had anxiety like every day since to some degree. Last night was hard because it was exactly a week and I had a very, very similar day to the day leading up to taking the gummy. Mm-hmm. Like I had a photo shoot, I had a busy day. I worked at the radio station, came home, Adam and I had a similar routine.
We had dinner.
Watched a show. It was
I had a beer still, which was...
Adam had a beer again. So it was like...
Because I was like, I needed to enjoy one. I needed a Friday night where I could drink a beer and enjoy it.
Yeah, but I was anxious. Like, yeah. And there are times, like, as you could tell talking about it now, like I...
Oh, I'm still having to breathe through it.
It's hard.
My fingers are still going numb.
Yeah. I have to really, like, calm myself down and, like... you can't, like, recall a time that you literally thought your body was gonna die and not be... emotional, like not have a physical reaction to it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And like thinking about the writhing and thinking about that, just the uncontrolled, like it's just it's scary.
Yeah. The muscle memory is still there.
Yeah. Because again, it's like it makes you realize like your body is its own like being.
Yeah.
Like it twitches and it moves and it hits itself to survive.
Well,
like,
and now you know there are places your brain can be where you're still alive but you wouldn't want to be.
Yeah.
And that's just its own
mind fuck,
can of worms.
Yeah So it was horrible experience. We can kind of laugh at certain parts of it, like the fact that it's stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully that was something.
At least you are intimately aware of the situation now.
Yeah. And I can say, like, yeah, I've definitely experienced thoughts and physical experiences that I never thought I would.
Yeah.
I never thought I would go in an ambulance.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, I'm not an accident-prone person.
No, so and definitely like, not at 30.
Exactly.
I'm like, I don't know, maybe when we're, like, 65.
65? Like, no, 85. Like, way older.
Have high blood pressure or something.
Whatever. I'm going to die in my sleep peacefully, happily one day. But, yeah, I just, like... never thought that would happen. And yeah. I thought I was going to have to care about Adam the whole night.
Mm-hmm. You didn't. My body just bounced back.
We should have maybe never gone to sleep.
Like I don't know. I don't think anything would have saved us from that.
Nothing would have stopped it. Yeah.
I don't think so. Because the thing is to me, because I had experienced it before, I was like, I know this goes away. You have experienced highs before that you know will go away, but you haven't experienced... my body is dying right now, but it's not. It will be fine.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Totally. I didn't know. Well, because
that's what I'm saying is I have been there where I didn't know. And I was like, no, it's dying.
The mind thing could handle flipping through parallel universes.
Yeah.
I could handle the mind stuff because my mind could get there. It was the fact that I knew that my body was doing things it had not done before.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, I'm dying because like,
I knew you were in a different kind of high when you started burping because that's what happens to me. Oh yeah. You kept like burping.
Really?
Yeah. It was like, I know the feeling cause it's like your heart rate is pounding in your throat and then it like starts to work its way up and then it's just like, just end up getting, and I was like, oh, you're on the physical high now. You're on the like very intense physical high.
Yeah. No. So if it was just the mind stuff, I would have been like, I would have just like stayed awake and just been weird for hours. Yep. But it was the fact that I writhed and my body did things and my heart did things.
And it's not like we could have gone for a run to fix it. That would have just gotten your heart rate up even higher.
Right.
Like sometimes you can do something where you're like, make it make sense that my heart's pounding.
Right. Like in highs before I've been like, oh, my heart's kind of being
you're like,
weird.
Dance it out. We need to have a dance party.
And we have, and it's worked. And that's like how it works. You got to like match your heart rate, match your like feeling that you're the buzz feeling. Got to match it. No, this was different.
Yeah. And I think too, like this just gives us a stronger reason even now to head into a season of like
sobriety,
moderate sobriety. We're not like,
ooh, we severe. Can't.
Like we've been vegan before and I know what it feels like to be like,
no, we can't do this.
Like severely vegan and very strictly vegan and like telling yourself no to so many things and how like
and
awful
annoying
that
it is.
Can be.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not sober. But I'm like, I have never really had any strong interest in getting outside of my own consciousness. Yeah. And I definitely don't now.
And I did, though. Like, I like getting high and I liked getting high. And I'm not like afraid of it. It's not like I won't again. But like, for my body's sake, I won't.
Yeah.
Even though I think my mental is like, okay, like I could get high because mm-hmm. I didn't, it wasn't the same.
Yeah. I'll just use my breath work for now on. Like I high. Know that I can get high breathing and I'm like, at least there's no external, there's like no exogenous chemical that is being put into my body that is going to like alter me to a point that I can't control.
No, you're I'm literally, breathing. You're giving yourself good things.
Yeah. My body will.
It's high on oxygen.
It'll pass out if it needs less oxygen and then I'll come back when it's like, okay, buddy, settle down.
Yeah. Like you're a little like selfish with your oxygen. Yeah, like, exactly. Calm down. But yeah, so I don't care to be out of my body anytime soon. My body is its own animal, freaky as hell, but
yeah,
it definitely makes me feel a little disembodied, I will say.
Even still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm like,
you're having you're having to try to figure out that there is a relationship like, now.
You're your own person. Like my body's, I'm like, I always felt like really one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I'm just.
Now there's somebody.
Somebody. Yeah.
Body. Somebody.
Yeah. No, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm trying to just like keep getting back in my body. So anyway.
That'll be its own journey.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think we've got, like I was even saying before we got into this whole story, like we've got plenty of other things that are bigger than ourselves right now that we can focus on that drive us beyond just our own reality or our own whatever's right in front of us right now that I think kind of keeps us distracted and keeps us like it for me has been like, okay, yeah, like I could be freaking out right now, but I've got things to attend to that require me to be doing something else.
Yeah.
Being better than just living in the moment.
Yeah.
And so that's been really helpful because I'm like, I'm returning to something familiar. I'm returning to something that needs me back in it.
Yep. Exactly. That's what I kind of do too. Like, I'm just kind of like, nope, anyway, fix that. Work on this and send that email. Mm-hmm. And disassociation, it's not like I don't want to do that. And I haven't been disassociated, which is why I think I keep feeling it so deeply. Is that I'm like, I can't disassociate from this because I can't have this come up some random time. Like,
oh, yeah, no.
That'd be horrifying. So I just need to like,
now is the time to
work,
process
get
it
out and feel the feelings and feel the twitches and like, you know, like I can't just shove this down. Like I have to keep moving through it so that it doesn't just surprise me one day.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
at some point, maybe we can get some therapy.
Yeah.
In general.
That'd be nice.
Not just to process this, but a few other things. But until then, we will just continue to self-therapize.
Yeah, exactly.
Through this podcast. So thank you.
Thanks for being our therapist.
I don't know where I should send the check, but we'll file it through my insurance first.
Okay, you guys. Anything else we want to say before we like, you know, end it just like.
Just trying to trauma dump on them and they're like, all right, sweet. Deal with that. No, there's not really anything else.
The
farmer's
okay
market was nice.
I'm okay now. We're working through it. Yeah, we got raw milk. We got ancestral blend of like
beef. Thank goodness we really do take care of our bodies and stuff. Like that's we put good I food said. In it. We exercise regularly.
I'm thank God I have the mental strength that I do. Like if I love myself and I love my body and I normally feel very embodied and I feel very in control of my brain. I know how to work through highs. I'm so like I cannot imagine being unhealthy mind, body, spirit, and going through that experience.
No way.
Like I can't imagine it. Mm-mm. So I'm very grateful. I think that it really, you never know what you're going to accidentally fall into. Yeah. So working on like your mental health or your physical health for random shit like that. You don't like
we
traumas of car wrecks, traumas of just, you know, you lose somebody or like you lose a job, like trauma is trauma. And like your mental fortitude and your
system that you already have in place
is so important. Mm-hmm. And like, I truly, truly can't imagine what that experience would have been like had I not been healthy in my mind, body.
Honestly, I think part of my drive to start even running this week was very much like,
yes,
I was like, trying oh yeah, no, I need my HRV to be a little bit more
expanded.
I was like, and it's such a good process. I do it with, it's like one of the
you
few
want
times
your heart
in a
to
day.
Be healthy.
It's one of the few times in a day where I'd have no entertainment going in my ears. Like all day when I'm working and stuff, I'll have podcasts or I'll have music or I'll have something going on or I'll be watching a show or like something.
Yeah.
And it's like the one time in the day where I actually am like looking forward to just existing and just being embodied.
That's good. I think, I really would put a lot of emphasis on heart health. Like you guys, like, work your heart up and then learn to really calm yourself down.
Sweating is good for you.
HRV, like get the high range and then let it calm down. Like learn to breathe and calm it down. I think if there's anything I would say, don't get liquor store gummies. And
don't do that.
And like keep your heart healthy.
Yeah. Yep. So that you know, even when you're in those moments and your moments of like your sober mind when you're very high knows
you're
my
gonna
heart
be okay.
rate is okay. It's been up here before. It's fine. Yeah. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully that was something. I don't know. Entertaining.
Not traumatizing.
Yeah.
That's the goal. As long as it wasn't traumatizing.
And somewhat entertaining. That's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Send this to friends that may be experimenting with gummies and stuff. Just make sure that they know. Like, just get
them
it
the
from
information.
Get it from a real, what are they called?
Dispensary.
Dispensary.
Yeah.
Only ever. Yeah. Just always know where things are coming from, you know?
Yeah.
So there's that advice. Send it to your friend. Love you guys. Rate and review.
Yeah, those are so fun to read. Please.
Yeah.
Write a review. I want to read it.
Read a review on Gummygate. Nice things only. Okay. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And until next time. Bye.
Bye.